your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Let us sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find thy rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Now thy glorious kingdom forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. And merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
So the word prophecy means that someone says something that will happen in the future. Now, when the Bible talks about prophecy, or prophets, these are people who speak for God. And from a Christian sense, they have received the word from God, and they're telling people around them what is going to happen in the future. It's been said that there's probably about 400 different prophecies that speak of Jesus from before Jesus was born all the way through his resurrection. And the Old Testament was written hundreds of years earlier than before Jesus was born. So it's quite amazing when people are making these prophecies, they're not even living to have seen it through, but they're recorded, and we know that Jesus fulfills all these prophecies. The prophet Isaiah even said, hundreds of years earlier than Jesus was born, he said, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We invite Juan Kim to come up. He's going to read the story of Joseph from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23.
Joseph accepts Jesus as a son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Emmanuel is just a funny word that we have. And as Juan said, as he read the scripture, it means God with us. So it's anticipation of the physical presence of God. Scripture tells us in the New Testament that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that God is spirit, but through Jesus, because of his birth, we see him in flesh and blood. Now, Jesus is, when he was on earth, he's all man and all God all the time. Now, that doesn't make sense mathematically, but that's what Jesus was. He never gave up his person of God as he took on the person of a human in physical body. God has always been with us. Jesus didn't have to come to earth to make God with us. He's always been with us in his spirit. And I think he does that. He sent Jesus to us so that God would know how we feel. And sometimes we're very happy, we're joyful. Jesus knows those times too. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're depressed. Sometimes we're upset. Sometimes we're sad. Jesus knows those times too. Sometimes we're in pain. We cry. We suffer. Jesus knows those times too. And so, with this great anticipation, it's God with us. Let's sing, O Come, Emmanuel. One of the little-known characters of the birth story is a woman named Elizabeth. And Mary and Elizabeth are related, and many people think that they're cousins. And so the child that Mary is about to have and the child that Elizabeth will have will be second cousins. I'm sure if you're Chinese, there's a certain phrase for that. But they will be cousins also. And so this child that Elizabeth will have will be named John, John the Baptist, not to be confused with the Apostle John. And so we have this passage in the Bible where Mary, when they're both Mary and Elizabeth are pregnant, she visits Elizabeth. This comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary responds with this poem that's called the Magnificat. Magnificat is this fancy word which simply means a word or a song of praise. And so when Elizabeth says this to her, Mary just explodes with this song of praise. Let me invite Ronnie Barlow up, and she will read the Magnificat, Mary's Magnificat from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55.
And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house."
You know, I think it's easy to really praise God when things are going really well, when your family's doing well, when you like your job, got into the school you wanted to get into, get good grades, you have food on the table, you're getting a lot of presents. Sometimes it's harder to praise God when things aren't going so well, when there are family problems, or when finances are being stretched thin. And so God doesn't always tell us his plans. He just says, "Hey, take today as I give it to you." So if you could, in your mind, think of how you would finish the sentence, "God has been good to me because." God has been good to me because. How would you finish that sentence? It could be something that, you know, sort of been positive in your life. It could have been something that, in retrospect, in hindsight, has been a challenge for you, but yet God has been good. How would you finish that sentence? "God has been good to me because." And as a pastor who believes in the one another passages, I believe we should encourage one another. So if you could turn to each other, person on your left, person on your right, and say to them how you finish that sentence. "God has been good to me because." So just stand wherever you are and just say that to each other. You may have to go across the aisle and finish that sentence. Stand up, please, and say that to each other.
Okay. Why don't we all stay standing for this next song here, "Joyful, Joyful."
Joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the Son of God. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Ever singing as we onward,
victors in the midst of strife.
Daunting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee.
Thank you. You may be seated.
So all the stuff that we've read previously have been a build-up to the actual birth of Jesus. And we read the story over and over and over again. And it's just a blessing to read it, but it's so unusual for us. And because we're just used to going to a hospital and giving birth and having a very sanitary sort of situation. But that's not what it was like over 2,000 years ago. So student minister Caleb Bly will come up and read us the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Okay, so what I'd like to do, because we have so many children here today, and I think it's just a great opportunity for children to worship together with us, I'd like to speak to the children specifically and directly, so I'll give them a sermon on their own. So if I could invite the children to come up on the stage or as close as you can get, that would be great. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, just rush the stage. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Sit down here. Sit down here. Come, my little children. Sit in front of me. Good, good, good. It's softer on the rug. Come up. Softer on the rug. Your behind won't hurt as much. Awesome. Great, great. I know you don't get to come up here very often, so this is a special time. So, you know, I want to make sure that you get noticed, right? We pay attention to you guys. Now, how many have heard the Christmas story before as told in the Bible? A few of you? Okay. I'm sure you've heard it before. So I'm going to give you a quiz. Now, I know that you're on, like, Christmas break, okay? But I'm Asian, so I need to give you a quiz, all right? So And the old people out there, they think they know the Christmas story too. But let's see if they really do. Now, one of the first passages that was read, an angel came to Mary, right? Remember that? What is the name of the angel that came to Mary? Was it Gabriel or Brad or Pastor Jack? Yes. Gabriel, right? And I got to tell you, like the guy in the middle and the guy on the right, people mistake us for twins, right? So that's right. Gabriel is the name of the angel that came and told Mary, say, hey, you're going to have this baby from God. Very good, all right? So you do know the Christmas story. All right, next question is, what city was Joseph originally from? So was it San Francisco? Bethlehem?
Bethlehem.
Disneyland?
Bethlehem.
Yeah. A lot of people think Disneyland's a country in and of itself, okay? Yeah, Bethlehem is correct. So that's why they had to travel back to Bethlehem to take account of their family, right? Okay, when they went to Bethlehem, how did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? Was it by car? A donkey? Whose friend is Shrek? Or a train? Which one is it?
Donkey.
See, they're worried now. They don't know the answer. The answer is, we don't know.
Donkey!
No, I'm telling you, the answer is, we don't know. The Bible says that Joseph and Mary just went to Bethlehem. It doesn't say how they got there.
Donkey!
All right, it's a donkey. Okay. But that was a trick question, okay? Next question is, so they get to Bethlehem, right? What does the innkeeper say to Mary and Joseph when they get to Bethlehem? Does he say, one, Merry Christmas? Or two, there's no room at the inn? Or three, LOL? What does he say?
Two.
What does the audience say?
Number two.
Another trick question. He doesn't say anything. The Bible says there's no recorded words of what he said. So we just assume that he said there's no room at the inn. All right? That was a trick question. Okay. All right, here you go, ready? So you know that, you know, when she had her baby, Mary had her baby, they put him in a manger, right? What's a manger? Well, a manger is sort of like a feeding trough. Like it's a big, big, long bucket, okay? So let me ask you this question. What animals were there at the birth of Jesus? Was there a cow?
No.
A big brown bear?
No.
A camel? Possibly. A tiger?
No.
Which would eat all the other animals. A sheep?
Yes.
Or a sloth?
No.
He's too slow. He doesn't make it to the party, right? So what were your answers? Don't listen to them.
A cow, camel, and sheep?
What's the Bible say? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what animals were there. That's true. Now they don't trust me. Okay, so the Bible says that Jesus was born, they put him in a manger, which is sort of a feeding trough, a feeding place for animals. But it never says what animals were there. Not a tiger, right? That would be bad. A panda bear? Oh, I should have had a panda bear. Okay, here we go. So remember I said Jesus and the son of Elizabeth are cousins, right? Oh, What is the name of Jesus' cousin? Is it Jacob? Is it John? Is it... Yeah, I did tell you the answer. That's why I was wanting to know if you're listening. But it could be Jasper. Is it Jasper?
No!
Which one is it? John. Okay, not to be confused with the Apostle John or Disciple John. This is John the Baptist. Very good. Okay? Ooh, you're listening. See if you can get this one. How many wise men came to visit Jesus? One? Three or seven? They're all very good numbers. Three. That's your standard answer, right? I don't know. We don't know. Audience says? We don't know. Very good. We know there were three what?
Wise.
No.
Three shepherds.
No, not three shepherds. How many? What? No, not three kings. We know there were three what?
Wise.
No, we just said there are not three wise men. Three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? So people just assume, oh, there must be three wise men, right? There could have been many. There could have been seven. There could have been 20. There could have been one guy who was carrying all three gifts. Okay? What? Yeah, that's the same thing you're looking at. Very good. Very observant. Okay, almost done. Joseph is the father of Jesus. True or false? We don't know! No, it's not the answer. True or false?
False!
Oh. Okay, so the answer is... the answer is false. Sort of, right? So... God is Jesus' heavenly father. That's why Jesus is called the Son of God, right? But Joseph is Jesus, if you want to think about it, is Jesus' adopted earthly father, okay? But God in heaven is Jesus' heavenly father. Ooh, very good. Okay. I said there was a special word about Jesus. He was named a certain thing that... Emmanuel, right? So what does Emmanuel mean? Does it mean I'm Manuel? Or I'm a Noel? Or God with us? Gosh. You don't know how long it took me to come up with this one. Okay. That was pretty good. God with us. That's what that means. Okay. So last one. What is important to know about the birth of Jesus? One, Jesus is fully human and fully God. Or two, Jesus knows how you feel. Or three, Jesus loves you very much. Okay, if you said one, you're correct. If you said two, you're correct. If you said three, you're correct. If you said one, two, and three, you're correct.
I said okay? All of them.
All of them, that's right. Because remember I said Jesus is all God and all man all the time? Right? That way he knows how you feel. So sometimes when you're really happy or really sad, he knows how you feel. If you get a cut on your finger or you fall down and scrape your knee, he knows how you feel. If you cry, Jesus knows how you feel. And Jesus did this because he loves you very much. He loves you before you were even born. And he'll love you into eternity also. Okay? So those are some great lessons. You did really well on your quiz. Those guys did not do so well. So let me pray before you leave the stage and go back to your seats. God, we thank you for sending Jesus to earth on this Christmas that we celebrate, and pray that these children here would love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so you can go back to your seats. Let's sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth. And praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
The birth of Jesus was not meant to be a secret, but the news of his birth was not given first to kings or governors or really sort of important people that we would think about. It was given to what we would consider common people, or maybe even less than common people. Those were shepherds who were taking care of the sheep in the field. And I think it's appropriate because Jesus is called our chief shepherd, and he takes care of us. And so he communicates his message to shepherds first and foremost. I want to invite Dennis Kwan and his family to come up. They'll do the reading of the shepherds and the angels from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, and also light the Advent candles. You can come up on stage.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Oops. I mean brothers and sisters. Today I'm going to introduce my family, the Kwan family. This is my son, Ding. He's going to turn to 12 years old next month. And his nickname is Dini the Orange Sea. And he likes basketball, steaks, and the Joe ice cream. And this is Saleya, my daughter. She is 10 years old, and we call her Solele. It's her nickname. And she likes drawing, cooking, and all the animals that have horns, like swordfish, rhino, and unicorn. And that guy stand over there is my favorite man on the earth. That's my husband, Dennis. And he likes me, actually. Oh, well, my name is Stella. Forget myself. Okay, this year, Ding and Slaya went to Agape Land for the first time, and they want to come to Sunday service. So, long story short, we eventually transferred from Sensei Church to here because we really enjoy the music, the service, and the message here, and especially the peoples here. And we met some new friends right here, and we love them so much. This Sean and Alice and their children, and Victor and Jenica and Toy's family. Thank you. And today my children is going to read some passage from the Bible.
Hello, we're going to be reading the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasures up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned to glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Hi, so now we're going to light the candles. So the candles represent hope, peace, joy, love, and the white one is the Christ candle. Hi, everyone. So my name's Dennis, and I get to talk about what Christmas means to me. So actually, Christmas is probably my most favorite holiday out of the year. Although if you asked me when I was younger, I'd probably say my birthday, Thanksgiving, and holiday would rank up there as like my top three. So when Pastor Jack asked me on Monday to talk about the significance of Christmas to me, I thought, it's a pretty relatively straightforward question, should be pretty easy. And I actually thought about it every day when I was at work, and I realized it's not so easy for me to answer this question. And I think the reason lies because when I was little, I wasn't a Christian. So if you asked me when I was 5 years old what Christmas meant to me, I would have told you that it meant waking up early on Christmas morning, drinking hot cocoa, going underneath the tree, and just unwrapping gifts that I really hoped that I got what I wanted for Christmas, because I had no idea who Jesus Christ was. But then if you asked me what does Christmas mean to me when I was 10 years old, well, the most significant memory I had when I was 10 years old was sitting in my parents' car, and at that time we lived in Burlingame, and we were driving all the way up to this little town called Marysville, which is about an hour away from Sacramento. And I remember it took about 4 hours. And, you know, when you're 10 years old, sitting in the back for 4 hours, you're just really anxious. You know, that year, I remember my aunt and my uncle were coming down from Portland. I was going to see my cousin. So it was like this big family reunion. So for me, when we finally got there after 4 hours, I really remember opening the door from the car and getting out. And there's this, like, peace that came over me. It's kind of like when you have this like really long journey and you finally get to the end of it and you kind of have this like peace, this calmness. And that's what I remember when I was 10. And when I was 15, it was the first time that I actually left the United States to go outside of the country. My parents took myself, I'm the only child, so there's only me. But so the three of us, we went to Hong Kong for Christmas, and I remember on Christmas Day, there was this road, Nathan Road on Kowloon side, where they just shut it down. And there were thousands of people just like walking down the street. And it's like you're looking around, and all you see are these like Christmas decorations. And I remember my
mom on this side and my dad on this side, and you know, we're kind of holding each other as we're walking down, and the sense of joy, the sense of belonging that just really came over me during that Christmas. And 5 years ago, my family, meaning the four of us, we went to Tahoe, and I remember on Christmas Day, we're all sitting on the couch, all bundled up in blankets. We all have our feet kicked up on the coffee table, which we never do at home. But we had the fireplace in front of us, and we had this like big screen TV, and we were watching a movie. And I was the biggest, so I sat in the middle, and I had my arms spread out across my family. And I remember I paused, and I like looked around me, and I was like, wow. It's like this undeniable feeling of love that was like inside of me, this with my family. And so as the years progressed, it's like my definition of Christmas has kind of changed. It kind of embodies all of my experiences growing up. Just last year, we kind of started this tradition a couple years ago that on Christmas Day, we would sit down in a circle and we would just go around just thanking, you know, Christ for what he has blessed us with. Not just the good things, but also the adversity and the challenges. So, kind of in summary, what Christmas means to me is pretty much all of these candles. And hope, peace, joy, love, and of course, today our Savior's birthday. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's stand and sing, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Echoing their joyous strains, Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Come to Bethlehem.
Come to Bethlehem and see in whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
You may be seated.
So the passage that the Kwans just read talked about the angels being told, the shepherds being told by the angels, go find this baby. The baby wasn't right next to them in a field right next to them. They had to go find him. And the sign that they would see would be this baby in this wrapped up in cloth. And so being sort of the curious person I am, I just thought, what happened to their sheep? Right? All the shepherds just said, oh, let's go find this Messiah, this newborn baby that the angels promised us. And they left their sheep. What happened? Like, did they wander away? I mean, shepherds are supposed to keep the sheep together and protect them from bad animals, yet they walked away from them. And I think even though they were willing to walk away from their sheep, the shepherds sensed something of greater worth than their job or their security or the livelihood of the sheep. So sometimes things that are seemingly valuable and important in this world are really only temporary. And I think all of us realize that in one way or another. Money is fleeting. Your toys break after a while. Things get lost. They're only temporary. But for us who are believers and followers of Jesus, this idea that Jesus is worth more than anything or anyone this world has to offer just resonates, because no matter if God takes away everything, as he has done to some characters in the Bible, we can still praise God and say, God, you have been good to us. God is a God who gives us everything that we have and everything that we will ever need. And so as we are about to collect offering, I want you to remember that, because it's God who says, this is yours, take care of it. Use it for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we're just stewards of what he gives us. So we just ask, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you would give generously. If you're a visitor with us or you're not a follower of Jesus yet, we just ask that, or you can just let the bag pass. You're under no obligation to give. Let me pray for our offering. Father, we just thank you and praise you that as we give to you, that you would use whatever we have so that the name of Jesus would go far and wide. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned at the top of my sermon, the life of Jesus is found in four books in the Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The birth story is only found in Matthew and Luke. Mark starts off his book with Jesus as an adult, as does John. There's no birth story in the book of John. But it does say some unique things about who Jesus is. One thing it says in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, that in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John tells us that Jesus existed forever. Jesus does not exist when Mary conceived in her womb. He existed forever, and he was there at the beginning with God. And that Jesus gives life, and he is the light for all men, all people. Jesus came into the world to be the light for the world. And the light shines into darkness. And when light shines into darkness, it reveals that which hides in the shadows. So John chapter 1, verse 14 and 16 read this way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So light brings us safety and security and hope, joy, peace, and love. Jesus is the light of the world. He's your light, and he's my light. John goes on to say in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And later, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let me read those two verses again. Jesus spoke, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's stand and sing.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain. the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
The shepherds feared and trembled when the love of the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
So Jesus came to the world as the light of the world to shine into the darkness of this world. And he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But in about 5 months, we'll remember that Jesus did not stay in this world. So he calls us to be something very unique, something very special. And he tells us that in Matthew chapter 5. Let this be your blessing this morning, that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. And all God's people agreed with that and said, amen, amen. Would you do me a few things? We're going to put the chairs away quickly. We're going to bring refreshments in, and there's a lot of refreshments, okay? When I tell my refreshment team, just make it simple, we have a different definition of simple, and so there's a lot of really good food. So have you do that and turn to one another and say, Merry Christmas.